This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of March of the year 2014. This happens to be the month of September of the year 2024 that the message is being put on audio. So that's a little over 10 years. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if so, I will try to give you a heads up on it. However, when it comes to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it, you would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Now, our subject scripture for this message is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter number 19, and verse number 7. And as I said, this is for the month of March of the year 2014. And if you had the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. This is Jesus speaking. He said, and he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." The title for this message: God is good. For as long as I can remember, this phrase has been used to describe just how good our God is. From the man in the pulpit to the least in the congregation, whenever someone utters the phrase, "God is good," the response from the listener is, "All the time." No truer words can be spoken. When we consider all of the things that God has done for mankind through His mercy and grace, and most of all, sacrificing His only begotten Son so that we, no matter who we are, where we come from, or how evil we have been, we can still be the recipients of all His blessings, then truly God is good. However, this description is not quite the way I would feel comfortable describing Him, because it leaves the door open for many to believe he is so good that he will overlook our sins whether we repent or not. For too many of us, there is this idea that God is so good that he will completely ignore everything that we are doing, that in the Old Testament he destroyed men and nations for. We rebel against him continuously without giving him a second thought. When told that what we are doing is sin, in 1 John chapter number 3 verse number 4, where it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law," we respond with the notion that God is neutral on our actions and that we don't want to hear anything that makes us feel like we are doing something wrong. Doing so tells God that we don't want to stop doing what is giving us pleasure. People do what they do usually because of the pleasure they derive from it. Take away the pleasure, and the people will most likely abandon it. When people care more about their pleasure than what God has to say about it, then they are placing themselves above God. To them, God is only good if he remains silent and seeks only when spoken to. You know, the way some parents tell their children to be. So essentially, they want to treat him like a child. And in their minds, because he is so good and starving for us to like him, he will continue to bless us. Quite frankly, they are thinking he is a chump. This is why I said that I am uncomfortable with the notion of God is good all the time. Even though it is a true statement, there needs to be some qualifiers attached to it, so that God isn't presented in a light that makes it seem that he is giving us a wide open door to say and do whatever we feel like doing without having to suffer any repercussions. A more fitting statement for describing him is God is just all the time, and all the time God is just. When we take into the totality of the Bible in describing him, we get a picture that most of the people don't see. In fact, it is an image that they don't want to see. You see, to those that have put their total faith and trust in him, talking about the righteous, he is truly good all the time because he is just all the time. However, to those that put their faith and trust in their own image of him, he is a nightmare. If we look at the term good, it carries with it the idea that it is pleasing either to the taste, touch, feeling, sight, or in hearing, because it brings a person a sense of pleasure, relief, or some other euphoric state of being. Most of us pick our friends based on what our qualifications of just what a friend should be. We pick people that agree with us or are of a like mind. You have heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together. This means people that think alike are usually attracted to each other. In our way of thinking, we don't want anyone around us that is consistently saying or doing things we don't like or agree with. We especially don't want them around us if they are going to constantly, as many put it, stab us in the back or be disloyal to us. If a person wasn't a family member, we would call them the enemy. In fact, in some cases, family members have been treated as the enemy because of what some individuals consider as crossing the line when it comes to how they make them feel. Gangs, with all the negative images they present, have the same type of criteria for being a member, and that is, you have to act and think the same way they do. Go against them and you are going to be in trouble. Yet within their circle, they consider themselves as being good as far as, you know, to each other. So as you can see, good is a relative term. You can be the most wicked person there is, but to someone that thinks the same way you do, you are good. This is why people that engage in sexual sin, homosexuality, idolatry, murders, stealing, and such can hang out with each other and see themselves as being good because they all have a like mind, and that is, they hate God and the fact that they like what they're doing, and they encourage the other people that they hang out with to keep doing what they're doing. They may not come right out and say it, but when a person refuses to abide by what God says is right and wrong, then that person hates him. Ever notice their reaction to someone promoting the idea of sin and punishment for it? They want to attack the person, or at least stay as far away from them as possible. If they do acknowledge God It is a god, small g, that has long since changed his view on their behavior or of their behavior. Ever hear them say, this is the 21st century? What they are saying is the idea of what they like doing today is no longer sin. God has changed the way he looks at things. He has mellowed. After all, doesn't he see how many of them there are? He is too good to send that many of them to hell, if hell is real. He is too good to cause so many of them to suffer. My response to that is, they are right. A good God with a small g wouldn't, but a just God with a capital G would. One of the main attributes of God is that above all things, he is just. What this means is that he deals with everyone the exact same way, irregardless of race, creed, color, national origin, or any other criteria we might consider, including time. That means he reacts to sin today the exact same way he did back in the Old Testament times. Malachi 3 and chapter 3 verse number 6, God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. The only difference between then and now is that he has made it a whole lot easier for us to be able to be righteous in his sight. Romans chapter 10 verse number 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Talking about suffering and hell. Just because God doesn't strike you down immediately does not mean you are home free. To the contrary, as he did back then by sending people to those that were about to suffer for something they were doing wrong, he does the same thing today. And as those that choose to reject the warning, then he proceeds to bring them to their knees with pain, suffering, and death. The pain and suffering are a means he uses to get us to see the light of our situation before we die. Why? Because if we die in that state, we will most assuredly be headed for eternal damnation. Usually, when people are suffering, they will begin to be more accepting to what God has to say about their behavior and be willing to make a change. If God were good without being just, then he would be totally unfair to all those in the past that he destroyed and are now suffering in hell because they lived in a time when he reacted differently than he does today. If God were like many people think and hope he is, then he would have to go back and resurrect every person he destroyed because of their sins, heal all those that died of illnesses that he brought on them and ended their lives because of their rebellion against him, and take every soul out of hell and allow them into heaven. If he were to do that, then he would have to apologize to them for all the torment they suffered in hell. But there is another problem. How could he make up to them for all the suffering in hell they did prior to him taking them out? In a sense, he would also have to pardon the devil and his angels or demons because the people were following their directions. Think about this. In this nation, we have institutions that are supposed to be where you go to get justice. They are courts. Every courtroom is presided over by a man or woman that is known as a judge. Each of these judges is supposed to be impartial, and that they are not to be influenced by how things appear, but by the facts that can be proven by the evidence. However, unfortunately for many of us, that may not be the case, because some judges can be influenced in their decisions and punishments because of money, popularity, influence, or personal opinions about the person that stands before them, either as the accused or even as the plaintiff. Justice requires a fair verdict in every situation, regardless of who the person is, even if it is a friend or family member, as to what the punishment should be rendered. If there is a bias in that process, then justice is not served. Well, with men, this is just about impossible. However, with God, He is the only one who is not swayed by who the person is, or how many of them there are, or the position they hold in the community or government. God is the epitome of an equal opportunity in justice. All mankind has to do is obey His commandments and statutes and be blessed. Or they can disobey them and be cursed. It can't be any more simpler than that. Yet today, in the 21st century, there are those that are not happy with it being like that, because once again, it spoils their fun and they don't like it. Instead of them abiding by His rules, they want Him to abide by theirs. This is one of the main reasons we have so much suffering, sickness, crime, and death in this nation. no respect for God and His laws. We tend to think we know more than God does. There isn't one commandment that God has given us that we, or rather those that have that rebellious mindset, totally agree with, especially if it interferes with their pleasure. They will either corrupt it by finding a way to make it appear to support what they are doing, or they will reject it outright. To show you just how far they can get from what the Bible says on the one hand and embrace it on the other hand, in talking with a friend of mine at a union meeting one day, she was complaining about how the GOP were the enemies of the union and how supportive of the unions in this nation the Democrats were or are. She wanted to know why I support the GOP over the Democrats. My response to her was that I don't support the Democratic Party because if you consider everything that they stand for or what their platform is, it is Antichrist and God. Abortion, gay rights, affirmative action, separation of church and state, and just about everything else that they stand for and support directly goes against what God says. Now let me say this, no party is perfect. Yet when it comes down to which of the two is the most offensive to God, the Democratic Party wins hands down. Her response to me was, man wrote the Bible. So what she was saying is because I was using the Bible to point out the wrong the party that she loves and supports was guilty of, she rejects it, talking about the Bible, totally. However, I have heard this same woman quote Bible scriptures when talking about how we are to love one another and help the poor and the needy. If you will notice, she will quote the Bible to satisfy what she wants to believe, but reject the exact same Bible when it convicts her of doing something wrong. You can't have God, capital G, both ways. It is either all or nothing. You have to take God as He is and not as you want Him to be. God is good, but He is also just, and that goes first. Well, that is the end of our message for this month of God is good, and I hope that you got the message that I'm trying to explain to you here is, I don't like the term good when it, without having putting some qualifiers in there to let you know that he's not so good, that he's gonna let you run over him, and that he's some type of a chump or something like that. No, God is good because God is just. He's fair to everybody. Don't care who it is. He's made the way for even the worst among us to still be able to spend eternity in heaven with him if they will follow his rules. That's the whole thing, following his rules. But when we got people today, when you say God is good, the first thing they think of, well, he's so good that he wouldn't send them to hell because there's just, you know, the majority of people in the world today are essentially headed to hell. And God wouldn't be fair if he sent the majority of people to hell, knowing that what these people are going to be facing. He's supposed to be so merciful and be so full of grace and things that he would be unfair. It's funny how they're going to use the term unfair if he followed the rules that he set for all of us to follow, but then we want him to change his rules to suit how we feel about them, which means we're going to be the ones that I guess they think that God is going to submit to our sinful majority. You know, we got this group that was prominent back in the 80s called the Moral Majority. Well, we never have had an actual moral majority. But the thing is this, the majority is sinful and based on, is headed to hell. In fact, the Bible even says, broad is the gate or the way to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow is the gate that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So the Bible addresses the idea that out of the total number of people, past, present, and future, that are going to be born and die and exist on this earth, the vast majority of them are going to end up in eternal torment or in hell because they don't follow God's rules. And that's basically strictly all on them, because God has done everything he could to get them to accept the truth, but they refuse to do it. Just like the case here in the United States with the abortion rights groups, the LGBTQ community, the running of the government with separation of church and state and affirmative action and stuff, all of these things, God has set the rules and these people refuse to follow them, but yet and still they want to say if there is a God, he wouldn't be fair or good if he sent so many people to eternal damnation. No, he wouldn't be good, but he would be just for doing so. That's what you got to keep in mind. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out. I hope you got something from it today. And just remember what I said earlier, the message coming to you, you've been exposed to it. Now the thing you need to do is take heed to the message and adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre saying to you and your family, you and yours, may God bless you and your family real good until we get together again for another message from the Word of God. Good day.